As I said, tonight I am not again alone. I am with Lusani, and tonight we are wrapping up our series on biblical leadership. And last week we had touched on family as part of leadership. And so tonight we want to wrap that conversation up. Good evening, Lusani.
Good evening, Zibusi. How are you and the listeners?
I'm super califragilistic, expialidociously wonderful.
Whatever that means.
Yes. Yeah. So we've been talking about biblical leadership, and, you know, take us through now into leadership within the family context.
All right. Thank you very much, Zibusi. I think one of the things that I've come to realize throughout this series is the centrality of family in as far as leadership is concerned. One commentator once made a remark that when you look at the problems in society today, go back to the family structure and say, how is it on the family front? Because if you look at that, you'll be able to track the root cause of the problems we have in society. It stems from the family. And there are three aspects that, for me, are quite critical in this regard. Firstly, is you as the head of the family. How is your relationship with God? That is the first thing. If your relationship with God is good, you are able to give godly leadership to your family.
And by head of the family, you are talking about the father.
The father.
And the husband.
Yes. I'm talking about the father and the husband. If your relationship with God is good, you are able to provide godly leadership to your family. But one thing that I've realized is that we tend to look at family and just confine it to our own immediate family. But I would want us to look at family beyond just your wife, your kids, and those very close to you, but to look at it beyond your inner circle, your close, intimate family, what you call a nuclear family. And when I look at this, I went to scripture, and I really had to go back to one of the scriptures that I like a lot. But as I went through it, it gave me a different perspective to this. If you go to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the famous quotation that is often used, if you check my WhatsApp profile, you will see that is what I have.
And it says, I've seen it.
And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, as I was preparing for this show, one of the things that crossed my mind, changed my views around this. If you look at this scripture, Joshua was almost like his last address to the Israelites in the wilderness. And he was looking at these people that he has been leading, and they were struggling to make a choice, to choose what is right, and he's pleading with them. It's almost as if I'm reaching the end of my life, but you guys, it's like I'm going to die. But you still are undecided when it comes to your faith, and is pleading with them. This is not a victorious speech. It's a disparate man who says, you guys, I want you to choose God.
Yeah.
But then he realized that they may not choose God. And then he said, you may not choose God. But as for me and my family, we will serve God. There are two aspects I pick from that. One, he was able to speak with authority on behalf of his family. As for me and my family, there's no record here that says he had to go back, consult with his wife and children. But because he understood from his upbringing, he understood the role that he had to play as the head of the household and the father, that he was able to speak with authority without fear that any of his family members might contradict him, because he knew them, they knew him. So they most probably would be able to vouch for him. That is the one aspect to it. But if you look at that positive aspect, there's a downside to it. If you focus on your family and you say, you can choose whatever you choose, but as for me and my family, think about it this way. You can make sure that in your household things are okay, but your wife and kids are going out into the world, school, work, universities, wherever they go. They're going to interact with those kids who might have chosen to follow not God, maybe follow the Amorites that we have today. So you're not solving the problem by solving the issues of your household.
That's true.
There's an expression that I think some of those in the medical field will say, no one is healthy until all of us are healthy, because we can take all precautions. But when you leave your household, you're going out there to meet with those who might not be taking care of myself or are not able.
That's true. And there's another part that I want us to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and specifically so, as for me. And then the house comes after. But the first person was him.
Yes.
And when we look at the history of Joshua, he was one of the two who came back with the positive report.
Yes.
When Moses had sent the 12 spies.
Yes.
Joshua was also the one who constantly was there with Moses when Moses met with God in the mountain. And almost every other space where Moses was meeting with God, Joshua was there.
Yes.
Along, and then Caleb came on board.
Yes.
But now Joshua comes, he says, as for me, he's declaring this with the context of saying, I have been there. I have had a relationship with God. I know this God that I want to serve. Because when he gave me the leadership, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night to do according to all that is written in it.
Yes.
For then you will make your way prosperous.
Yes.
And now he's saying, if my God has said this, therefore I'm not going to consult. And think about it.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the house was not just him and his wife and his children.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been them as well as the servants.
Yes.
In his household.
Exactly. If maybe just to go back to the history around this. When he says, as for me and my family, this is someone who has seen God throughout all this time. He has seen what God has done for the Israelites in the wilderness. He has seen when people are not in doubt and they are querying, why are we here? Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? Were there no graves over there? All these things. And he has seen God through this time. So he's able to speak with a greater degree of authority of his experience with God to say, I'm not just believing this God out of some empty belief, some empty faith. I've seen God in action. I've experienced God in my life. And that is why he's able to speak with authority and commit his household. Because again, also it tells you his relationship with his household. He knew them. They knew him. Can you imagine, you would say, if you stand up and say, as for me and my household, and your family members stand up and say, I'm not you. So, but in this case, he was able to say with confidence because he lived with integrity. They saw him. And I suppose even the Israelites could not contradict him. They saw him, how he led his life and how he led his family. So he was able to speak with authority. And I think that is something that all of us, husbands, heads of households, we can take a leaf from Joshua's book in this regard.
That's very powerful, because once we as fathers and as husbands set the tone, then the rest of the family can submit. I've heard most women say, how can I submit to this man who is, and they find all disqualifying criteria of not to submit. Once listened to one lady who said, you know, when I was looking for a partner, I wanted someone I could submit to. And when she met this guy, she realized, this man I could submit to. It was because of his character, of his conduct. And therefore with us, and this is a reflection upon us as men, are we the kind of husbands and are we the kind of fathers that our family can say, I am safe if I were to submit and follow this man?
You know, there's a quotation that I like a lot, but it scares me at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It says, don't worry that children never listen to you. Worry that they are always watching you.
Eish.
If you think about it, if you have a son, the way in which you treat your wife, whether you like it or not, whether you're conscious of it or not, you are modeling to your son how one day he should treat his wife. Equally, you are modeling to your daughter how a woman, a wife, should be treated. And if you look at it, we do a lot of things, sometimes absent-mindedly, unconscious. And they are watching. Believe you me, they watch. And I think sometimes it's what we do that matters the most. You remember, in our second episode where we talked about integrity. Integrity being what you say and what you do, there has to be that alignment. If you say, I love my wife a lot, and the kids see you, but you're not really showing the love that you profess, what are you saying to them? You are modeling something else. That is why in some instances you left daughter saying, I don't want to be married. Because if marriage is what I see between my mom and my dad, I don't want to be party to that. Or some would even say better, when I get married, I want to marry a man who is like my dad, with integrity, who takes care of. Why? Because I saw how my dad treated my mom. So whether we are conscious of it or not, whether we like it or not, when we have children, boys and girls, we are modeling behavior. And that is why there's a huge responsibility on us as heads of households to model biblical leadership, not only out there. It starts in the family. If you can't do it in the family, just don't even try and attempt to want to be a leader out there. What are you doing? That's being hypocritical. And again, your integrity becomes questionable. Mm. It starts at home.
You know what's powerful about that is not only do our children see us when we love their mothers and treat their and how we treat their mothers, but other immediate people around us, when they see how we love, how we raise our children, they get to admire us for that. And even though in their homes they may not have that right model, but they can see that there's this man down the road, two houses from here. I always see him with his children like this. I want to be a father like that. I want to be a husband like that.
That is why, and you're very right in that. That is why when we look at family, we need to also begin to look beyond our own wives and their own children. The child next door who might not have biological father in their life, you may not even be aware, but they watch you. And even if you don't know, you are modeling how a family should look like. And I think that's why our behavior should be exemplary, should be godly, because we influence not only our own biological children, but those in the neighborhood. And I think also, if you think about the responsibility is much more higher.
Mm.
Because if we don't, and we mislead them through our behaviors, and this is what I want the listeners to hear, God doesn't take kindly to that. I mean, you know the story of Eli. His children misbehaved. He didn't discipline them. He didn't call them to order. But if you look at the punishment of God, it was harsh on him. Why? Because he didn't discipline his children. So the responsibility is much more bigger. We have to discipline our children for the sake of their own well-being, but also for the sake of the neighbor's child who might not have a dad around. You might be that dad.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you speak of Eli, it's almost a painful thing that God did to him. That God chose Samuel to give him the message of his punishment.
Yes.
For him being, lacking discipline. For him lacking the ability to discipline his children. My English data bundles just ran out there. But because of that, then God says, Samuel, I am going to train you, and the first person you're going to start with is your mentor.
It sounds harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think that underlines the seriousness with which God takes the responsibilities that we have as fathers. He's going to use, again, anybody and anything to deliver his message. And I think if you look at it, using his mentee to tell him that, hey, you're not doing a good job as a dad, That sounded harsh. Can you imagine Eli sitting there and being told by basically his child?
Yeah.
It was probably not the easiest thing to hear. But again, it tells you God takes this responsibility seriously.
And there's another flip side to this. Even though he received the word from his mentee or from his son, there is a part of him that says, I'm expecting this. He acknowledges his fault very quickly because he doesn't debate and say, but how could God do this? It seems as if he's been anticipating it, because then he receives this word from God as it is, without arguing or debating it.
I suppose he might have been anticipating that that will happen. But at the same time, what that tells you is that, and I believe God would have forgiven Eli, but the punishment stays. Mm. You didn't do a good job there. So it stays. You still are subjected to the
punishment. Just like he did with David.
Exactly. You forgave him, but the child died. And if you look at David's example again, I mean, these are things that are happening on a regular basis, and I think society has somewhat accepted it as some sort of normal. It's very weird that, you know, a person would behave like David, have someone's wife killed, you take the wife, have a child with them, and we're like, oh, we heard this, we're surprised for a day, the next day life goes back to normal. That's what, we have become so desensitized to these things, but not with God. So you must know, as a husband out there, you behave like David, God is going to punish you. Maybe not the punishment in the same way that was meted out to David, but nonetheless, God punishes sin. And that's just how serious that whole thing is.
And I think for us as fathers, there's that calling that says it's a higher calling. You cannot afford to just be cruising, put your parenting and your loving of your wife on cruise control and just think it's okay. You have to be present.
You have to be present. And I think one of the things that I believe, there are two things that Zibuse and the listeners I would want us to take from this. There are two things. You are a watchman. You can't sleep on the job. You don't take care of your family and you don't provide leadership in the family. It revolves out of your family, gets to your village, get to your city, get to your town, get to the country and the world. And the opposite is the case. That's the first thing. The second thing is, what kind of a legacy would you want to leave? And this is, if I can put it out as a challenge to the listeners and all of us. One day, all of us are going to die. And I would want us to look at our lives as a book. When that book is read, what will your children, your wife, your relatives, people in the community, and whoever reads that book, what will they say about the kind of legacy that you have left behind? Will they say, there lived a man who did a great job, good and faithful servant? Or will they say, yo, you are such a troublemaker, good riddance to bad trash? Will they say that? Think of the legacy that you're going to leave as you lead your family. It influences your children. It influences your neighborhood. It influences the country. Look at it beyond just the immediate. The small thing that you have, it will have ripple effect beyond your immediate family. And it starts where?
In the family. Wow. Thank you, Lisani, for your time all these weeks. Thank you for your labor of love, for pouring into us, for the time you spend delving into the Word of God and preparing to share these messages with us. I hope, friend, you have also taken something out of this or out of these conversations, and that you are a better person for it. I'd like to leave you with this scripture. It's from Revelations chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. You can keep playing church. You can keep playing God. You can keep playing every other role that you are playing in your life. But one day you will account to God. He is coming. What legacy are you leaving behind? Friend, I hope you take this seriously. Even so, amen.